Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Thank you, Jesus. How many love worshiping God? Amen. I love to stand in His presence. Amen. I love to sense His movings, to sense Him speaking to my heart. I just love it. Hallelujah. How many know God is good? God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. And God's got great things for you. Amen? Yeah. I'm going to say that again. God's got great things for you. Hallelujah. Anytime you obey Him, anytime you offer obedience to Him, that obedience can be like a sacrifice to God. I will obey You, Lord. I will do what You've asked me to do. Hallelujah. Anytime you obey Him, hallelujah. Anytime you obey Him, you're going to find that He will speak to you. He'll put His arms around you. He'll love you. You'll sense it more, I think.
Thank you, Lord.
How many of you know that sometimes when you're disobeying God, you just can't really sense that presence of God? Do you know that? I mean, maybe you might sense, we might sense it kind of in a, God, maybe I made a mistake here. But I know, tell you, God loves you. And anytime you do anything in obedience for Him, I tell you, He says this, don't be weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. You will receive what God's trying to give you. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I love it. I love the kingdom of God. I love, today we're going to talk a little bit about the kingdom of God. Our message is faith and the kingdom. Hallelujah. I remember when I didn't know the Lord, I didn't know there was a kingdom that was already in the earth, that it was already moving. Hallelujah. And when I stepped into it, I thought I was the only one. Do you guys, anybody remember that? When you first got saved, you thought like you were the only one, man. Hey, man, ouch. And then, you know, you get all fired up and you go try to tell people about Jesus. And they look at you, man, you're crazy, man. So, no, man, let me tell you about Jesus. Man, everything's brand new, amen? Hallelujah. Being in His kingdom is a privilege. How many know? Let me say amen to that. It's a privilege to be in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a kingdom unlike any other kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. I better get to the message. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. We'll start with that. Hallelujah. If you take notes, today's a good day to take notes because there's going to be quite a bit of scriptures. I was up kind of late last night and saying, Lord, they're coming. They're coming over, God. Lord, they're coming. I need something. You got to give it to me, Lord. You got to give it to you. And you know what? I'm just not going to throw something together just so you guys can, just so, okay, it sounds like I've got a message. I am. If I don't have a message, I'm not going to stand up here. I'll call Pastor John up. No, just yeah. I'm sorry, bro. Pick on you all the time, bro. But late last night, scriptures began to come, and I began to realize God is wanting to see, has something to say to the body of Christ. Amen. How many of you know it's good for God to speak to us? Sometimes God might say something we don't want to hear. How many good like that? Yeah, well, God, I don't want to hear that, man. Well, guess what? Whenever God says something to us, it's always good. Do you know that? How many of you know that all the seed is good? The Word of God is good. You know, that's why you don't just skip over stuff and read the stuff you like. Is that all right? Sometimes maybe God is trying to talk to you with something else that's in there. So, and you get in and He begins to talk to you. All of a sudden, you know, it's funny when God talks to you out of the Word. Don't you just fall in love with that Word? It's crazy. It's all of a sudden, man, this is the best part. Man, I love this. This is my favorite chapter right here. And it's the one you try to stay up. How many of you like Song of Solomon? There's a few of you. I have trouble in that song. Somehow it's real sticky to me. It's there's so much love overflowing in it. It's kind of weird to me. But I will read, pardon? That's exactly right. I will do my duty. I read when I'm reading through the scriptures, I'll get the Song of Solomon and I go, okay, Lord, here we go. And I'll get in there and I'll read the book. And yeah, there's some stuff in there. There's a lot of stuff in there I'm not getting yet. I'm going to admit that to you. Is that cool? Is that all right? But I do know that all the seed is good. All the Word of God is good. So we need to not be just picking the stuff that we like. We need to go ahead and read and allow God to speak to us. And it will be amazed by what God will do. Amen? Because He'll give us such a love for His Word. How many love the Word of God? I mean, how many read it daily? I'm not going to look. Okay. How many of you, every chance you get, I'm going to pick up. I will. How many of you have scriptures that you'll speak to yourself during the day? Do you know how good that is for you? It's like a big cow. Sorry. Big cow out in the field, man. You know, what they do is they eat and they regurgitate their food, what they've eaten. Nice. And it's very nice for Sunday morning, right before lunch. And they'll chew on that and they'll swallow it. They'll bring it up a little later. They'll chew on it and they'll swallow it and they bring it up a little later. And you know what? They get full nourishment out of that thing. Is that right? I'm going to say, just think about that when you're thinking about the Word of God and you've got a scripture that's really, God's really gave you lately, and you begin to bring it up and you think about it. You walk in it for a while and then you do go on your way. And then you walk on it again. You walk in it again. All the seed is good and it will give you good nourishment. It will build you. The Word of God will strengthen the man or woman of God. Is that right? It will bring you to understanding and wisdom of what God has for you. Hallelujah. Man. Hallelujah. So the Word is good. So Acts chapter 1. Everybody there? Okay. The former treaties I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And I love this. I love where Jesus, I used to think that when after the resurrection, when I grew up as a Catholic, everybody, most of you know that, I grew up as a Catholic. So for some reason, I thought that the resurrection happened and then they gathered together around him and poof, he went into heaven. But that's not what the scriptures say here. He said he was around for 40 days. Is that right? Yeah. 40 days. The Lord was coming with them and, hey, how are you doing today? And the Bible says he was teaching them and speaking to them about the kingdom. He had already spoken a lot of things about the kingdom of God while he was before the passion, before the cross. He had already spoken to them. But I believe he was just going over those things. He's just, hey, man, let me explain a little bit more. Do you understand it a little bit better? How many know after the cross, it was a little bit more easier for the apostles to understand the resurrection. And then now he's actually speaking to them about the kingdom, about who they are. I love it, man. He stayed. He didn't just leave them. He stayed. He stayed for 40 days. 40 days. A month and 10 days. That's cool, huh? How would you like to hang out with Jesus face to face 40 days? Sweet. Come on, man. Hallelujah. That would be such a time. Amen? Well, I got you, didn't I? Because you can do it right now. You can hang out with him. You know, the way he told us, man, he says, Blessed are they who believe. You don't have to see, but you believe. Is that right? So you can hang out with Jesus for 40 days. But he began to teach them about the kingdom. The kingdom of God is the most powerful thing in the earth today. Do you know that? Do you know that? The kingdom of God is the most powerful kingdom in the earth today. Daniel saw it in the book of Daniel when he saw that there was a great statue and the head was gold, breastplate, down to the feet was iron and clay. And Daniel saw that there was a rock formed out of the mountain without hands. And this stone, it smote the image at the feet and destroyed it. And this rock is the kingdom of God. It's where we're standing. How many know that? Woo, man, hallelujah. We're in a good place. Hallelujah. But he began to talk to them about this kingdom. And so he began to remind them of things. And maybe he was reminding them of how Mark chapter 10 verse 25, where he says this. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. Where Jesus was talking to them about riches. And he had spoken to a young man. And he said, hey, you know what? Hey, the riches. He goes, come and he goes, sell all that you have and come and follow me. And the rich man, he goes, oh man, he had great wealth. So he left. And Jesus looked at that and he goes, hey, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, get down on his knees. The eye of a needle was a low port in Jerusalem where people would go in and out. And a camel, to get through that eye of the needle, would have to get down on his knees. And they would basically mostly have to unload him. And the camel could make it through as long as it's unloaded and would get through, need a lot of help. But he said it's easier for that camel to get through there than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Praise God. Maybe he spoke to him about the kids, you know, Luke chapter 18, verse 16 and 17. Please take these down. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer the little children to come to me. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter in. How many know? You just got to. The Word of God tells us to humble ourselves before the Lord. We have to humble ourselves and say, you know what, God? I can't do things the way I really think I can. How many know you think you can do better than you can? Is that right? Without God, you can't do anything. That's what he says. Jesus says that. Without God, it's without me, you can do nothing. Isn't that nice to know? Hallelujah. Tell that to your boss out there that don't know Jesus. Hey, without Jesus, buddy, you can't do nothing. See, I can fire you if you don't show up and get to work, man. That's what he tells you. But that's what he said. You have to be like a little child. Hallelujah. John chapter 3:3. Probably reminded them, talked to them a little bit about, you know, you must be born again. Jesus answered and said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again, he shall not, what? See the kingdom of God. Because the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. How many know that? And the things, when God begins to speak things, the natural man can't understand them. He doesn't get it. I remember being like that. I remember trying to read the Bible. My mom's big Catholic Bible. And the dust would fly, and I'd look through there. And I could read about Jonah. All of those were easy, you know, the ark and Noah and the ark. But get in the New Testament, I was, what is this stuff? I couldn't get any of it. Took the Holy Spirit to come in into my life. I needed to be born again. Hallelujah. By the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Maybe he talked to them about the kingdom is within you. Luke 17, verses 20 and 21 says that when he demanded the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is where? How many know that the kingdom's in you? I mean, hey, point your finger at yourself and say this: hey, the kingdom's in me. Kingdom's in you, buddy. I mean, do you know that? The kingdom is in you. Huh? Yeah. And so Jesus is talking about the kingdom. And he's just, I mean, you know, when Jesus first, when he came out of the desert after he had been baptized by John, he went and spent 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. And when he came out, the Word of God says that he began to preach the kingdom of God. The kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom. And here, folks, we're in the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe he talked to him a little bit about Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What things? What do you need? What do you need? What is it that you need? What is it that you need? Do you know that God told Abraham, I am that I am? And then through the scriptures after that, you know, God told Moses, I am that I am. But he said, well, what do you mean I am? I've never got I am. But he said, well, what? He goes, well, what actually do you need? And he began to reveal himself through the names like Jehovah Sid Cano, righteousness. Another name, Jehovah Yiri, your provider. He provides for you. Another name, Jehovah Nisi. He is the banner over you. He is here, man. He's your flag. Jehovah Rophe. How do you know what that is? He is your healer. What is it that you need? What is it that you need? He says this, seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be in. You know, I get up in the morning, the first thing I see is a cup of coffee. I get my coffee on, and then I go to the Word of God. I say, oh, yeah, okay, God, I'm going to put the coffee on. Is that okay, God? Can I put my coffee on, God? And then come and see you, God? Is it okay? When I wake up, I say, Lord, today's the day that you have made. I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. I am going to praise you, Lord. In the great congregation, I will praise you, Lord. You know where the great congregation is? It's not in here. It's out there. In that great congregation out there, God, I'm going to praise your name. Make a decision every morning. Is that right? We had some fellas in here Saturday that did a great work. Man, I'll tell you what, we got some preachers in the house. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? I'll tell you. You know what we talked about? Purity. Purity, man. Guys, we talked about purity. And I'll tell you something. We have to have a place where we focus on him, seeking him first, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. I'm going to tell you what, you got to seek him to get from him. Is that right? Seek for him, and he will begin to show you things. And the purity that you seek will come to you. Hallelujah. Preachers. Hallelujah. Like I say, I was up late last night. But these scriptures didn't come from me, man. They came through him to you. So listen, take me and listen to what's going on. Hallelujah. Matthew 13:11, he says this. Unto you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. How many like mysteries? Does anybody like mysteries? Perry Mason? No? Whatever. I know. Cowboy mysteries? Any mysteries? You know, there's mysteries in the kingdom of God. There are things that God does and the way he does them that are kind of mysteries. And he tells the apostles at this time, unto you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto them it's not given. So he speaks in parables to them. Do you know that one of the mysteries is giving? You know, the world doesn't make sense a lot to the world to give and give a lot. It doesn't make sense. I'm going to tell you about my truck, even though you've heard it before. I gave away a four-wheel drive International 1970, big tires were up to, well, I guess I should say they're about that big. It was a nice truck, nice four-wheel drive, and the Lord, a friend of mine told me, hey, I think you ought to give that to that missionary. A missionary had broken down, so I said, hey, I don't think so. I just overhauled it, man. Just did the rear end on it. Well, I'm sorry, the front end on it, the four-wheel drive, and the back end I needed to do. But I said, I don't think so. But as time went on, God spoke to my heart, and he said, hey, how dwelleth the love of God in you? If you have, because I had two trucks, if you got you got that truck and that truck, and his brother needs a truck, and he don't need the cheap truck, he needs a heavy-duty truck that he get in the mountains. So I said, okay, God, I'll give him the truck. Couldn't believe it. Went to the bank to get the papers done. And the guy said, you're giving it to him? Yeah. He said, well, you can't just give it to him. You got to sell it to him. I say, so I sold it to him for $1, my truck. And the whole time, I wasn't very happy about it. You know, how many of you know that God wants us to give with a joyful heart? Is that right? And then I was not happy about it. But I was stepped into a mystery that I had not understood. And he said, you know, so when the deal was all done, I was kind of upset. But when he was leaving, I said, Lord, I don't know why you made me give him your truck. Anybody been like that? Isn't that like Dennis? Isn't that kind of like you? Why would he talk to her when there's 2,000 ladies there to call you to the mission field? Is that right? Why would he do that? I mean, I love it, man. Why me? I mean, anybody with God? Why me? Why did you tell me, God? Why me? Gave him my truck, and his son come up to me and hugged me and just said in Spanish, is gracias, gracias, hermano Henry. That's all he said. I said, yeah, no problem, whatever. Man, get out of here. No. The Bible says you're supposed to give with a joyful heart. Is that right? Well, let me tell you, I was having a hard time with it. Anybody ever done that? Just had a hard time with it. So, I mean, when they left, later on, the brother that I gave the truck to got into some trouble with the law. And I had some folks coming to me saying, wasn't that the guy that you gave your truck to? Boy, did you miss it. I mean, you know how folks will do that? And man, it made it even worse. How many of you know that? I didn't want it. I said, Lord, I ain't going to give him that truck. God made me do it. I mean, that doesn't usually go over very well. God made me do it. Yeah, whatever. So I was praying. I said, Lord, I don't believe it. You made me give my truck to a criminal. And in my dream, I mean, not my dream, in my prayer room, I saw the face of that young man looking up at me, saying, gracias, hermano Henry. And when I saw that, I realized it was something that young man needed to see, how a man of God would give a vehicle to his family. And I realized what God was doing. I believe, this is my belief, that little guy is out there in those mountains somewhere in my truck, his truck, sorry, preaching the gospel. I believe it because it's like God was confirming. He said, look, it wasn't for the dad, it was for the boy. Do you get it? See, there's mysteries in the kingdom of God. I had left church one day and had John in the truck. He was little, probably, I don't know how old he was. Little guy. And I probably shouldn't have done this, but I got this other old truck and I'm driving it. Got on the freeways, headed down south. That truck ran out of gas. And guess what? I'm so okay, all right, Lord. Now, here I gave away my truck and now you let me run out of gas. It wasn't God's fault, is that right? You know what? We need to know when to blame God and when not to blame God. But I think I was still a little bit upset about giving that truck away. I said, God. So I tell Jonathan, stay in the truck. I probably should have taken it with me. I think my wife got after me about that. Just stay in the truck. Don't get out. Okay, Dad. He's playing with something in there. Got out. I had a little gas can in the back, no gas, got out, started walking, and I'm complaining, God, here I am. I gave my good truck away. This little piece of junk right here. I told you it was a Ford, right? I'm sorry, never mind. We'll go there again, yeah. I'll say, it was a Ford. Anyway, I'm sorry. I said, that thing, and I'm complaining, and while I'm walking and complaining, this limousine pulls over right in front of me, and the door pops open, and I look in the door, and I go, hey, what's up, man? He goes, hey, get in, man. Awesome, all right. So I got in, me and my gas can. We start going down. He goes, hey, man. He goes, where's the nearest gas station? I'll take you there. I said, great, man. I said, off the next exit. The Arco station was there. I said, and he goes, hey, can you tell me where St. Thomas is? He goes, St. Thomas? St. Thomas. And I said, you mean Santo Tomas? He goes, yeah, that's it. Santo Tomas. I go, yeah. I said, you passed it. He goes, okay, good. We'll get you gas, and then you can. So I said, okay, this is what you got. I told him where to go. So we stop at the Argo station. People all over. Big limousine, big black limousine pulls in. I get out with my gas can. Go over there, put gas in it. People are looking at me. I go back in there, sit down on that thing. Take off. He dropped me off on the cross from the truck where I could just cross the freeway and go to my truck, and he went on. And I realized that God had sent a limo to pick me up. And I said, Lord, I just thank you for what you did. And I mean, you know, God, I will not complain. I'm going to shut up about my trucks. I did get rid of that truck, amen? Bought me Chevy. No, I just Hallelujah. That's a mystery of the kingdom. You guys know that, right? Yeah. They're using Chevys up there in heaven. Yeah. Isn't that right, Pastor John? Yes. Yeah, come on. I was just kidding. But there are mysteries. And when you step into a mystery sometimes you might not realize that you've stepped into it. But then all of a sudden God shows up and shows that here I am. I'm here. This is what I do. And this is how I do it. I will send you a limousine if you need one. I will do this if you need it. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. The mysteries of the kingdom, they're powerful to us. And God, we need them. Amen. Glory to God. Maybe he talked to them about Luke chapter 9, verse 62, about looking back. How many of you know that once you step into the kingdom of God, it's not good to look back? A lot of folks will give their hearts to the Lord, but they keep looking at the old life that they used to be in. Remember, Israel would do that. They kept looking. But you know what? If we were back in Egypt, man, we could be eating something other than this funny bread that we're getting every morning. And they complained and complained. They kept looking back and looking back. And Jesus says it to them. He says, Jesus said to them, no man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Sometimes people don't realize that as they keep looking back, they're not taking on the equipment that God has got for them to go forward. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? God wants to equip you to move forward, never to look back. So a lot of times we got our hand to the plow, and we're saying, God, I'm going to do this for you, but we just keep looking back. And then you know what happens? Your row gets a little bit out of tune. You get starting, man, you're plowing over here. Next thing you know, you're plowing in the neighbor's yard, tearing up his grass. We can't be looking back. We need to constantly look forward. Look forward to what? Look forward to what he's saying to you. Look forward to the promises and the dreams that he's trying to give you. Look forward to those things that he's placed in your heart, that nobody, that he hasn't put in anybody else's heart, but he's put it in your heart. Looking forward and never looking back. Oh, we can go back, like I just told you about my truck, about the limo. I can go back for the glory of God. Amen. But not to say, hey, man, I really wish I was. I really don't want to be. I don't want to go back. How many don't want to? How many are happy with your walk with God right now? How many are glad that you're in the kingdom and you're not without hope like a lot of folks? I'm glad, man. Come on, man. Thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says this. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more than highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Soberly, is that a good word? Soberly. According as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. God has given every one of us faith. Do you know that? You know God has given people out there in the world, they've given them faith. They've all got faith. But God has given the body of Christ, he's given us faith. And he's given us a measure of it. How big? I don't know. How big? I got no idea. But then he tells us a parable. So if you look at Mark chapter 4, verses 30 through 32, he says this. He said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or what shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it's sown, it grows up. Everybody say, when it's sown. When it's sown. When it's sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Can I tell you this morning that something very small in the kingdom can be very powerful when it grows. Can I say that to you? Because it's true. Can I say this to you? Size does not matter with God. Is that right? How many times has size mattered with God? Do you remember Goliath? 13'6". That was how tall he was. 13 feet. How tall is this? Dave, where's Pastor Dave? How tall is this roof here? I don't know, but 13'6 is pretty good. It's 2 feet taller than 13'6. So imagine a guy standing here 13 feet, 6 inches tall. Tell you, with God, size does not matter. He don't care. David, young, ruddy, handsome, sang, played a harp. I hope it wasn't a harp. I hope it was a guitar. But he played a harp. He's God. Size does not matter with God. He says he's given us a measure of faith. And let's say it's like, everybody pull out your seed. Does anybody not have one, a seed? Everybody got one of these? Everybody, did they give everyone to everybody? Pull it out, find it. Yeah, I say everybody, I lost mine already. Yeah, they're easy to lose. Everyone take a look at them. And I don't know if we can do this or not, man. So I don't know if you can open it up to get your seed out. But I just kind of squeezed mine and the little one went over. But he doesn't say he does not say faith as the mustard seed. He doesn't say that, does he? He says faith as the grain. Is this small? It's small, isn't it? How many can see mine? Show me yours. I can't see it. I couldn't see it. I can barely see mine. But he doesn't say faith as a mustard seed. He says faith as a grain of a mustard seed. So what I want you to do is break it, if you can. Break it in your hand. And look at those little tiny pieces that are in there. Can you see it? Did you get yours broke? Bite it if you have to. Yeah. Mine finally broke. Rosie, is this mustard seed? Is that what the jar said? Because there are grains that are within this little guy that are even smaller than the seed itself. And that's why, how many of you guys got your broke? I see everybody going. It's just a little thing, but I see everybody kind of twisting around like they're wrestling. Faith as the grain of a mustard seed. Do you guys remember when Jesus walked into the city and there was a ruler that came to him, comes up to him and he falls at his feet and he says, Jesus, will you come and heal my daughter? Jesus looks at him. Let's go, man. Get up, bro. Let's go. They start walking. And as they're walking, there's a lot of people coming to see Jesus. They, hey, Jesus is in town. He is. All right. So they're all over there and they're getting around him and they say, Jesus, hey, hi, Jesus, giving them high fives. I don't know. But while he's walking, all of a sudden he stops and he looks around and he says, who touched me? Is that, you guys remember that? There was a woman that was illegally trespassing where she was at. She was in a crowd where she, because of the issue that she had, her sickness, she was not supposed to be in even the area. And yet she had said to herself, if I would just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. You see, she stepped into faith. She stepped into the kingdom of God. She didn't realize it. She didn't know it. When Jesus, somebody touched me, man. Who touched me? The Bible says that this lady had this infirmity for a long time and had been going to doctors and nurses and nobody could take care of it for her. They just couldn't help her. So her last chance, her last thing to do was to take what she had within her and say, I'm just going to go touch his. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. So she did exactly that. And Jesus sensed it and says, who touched me? Hey, everybody's touching you, man. Who touched me? And he turns and he sees the lady and she's, hi. She's, I touched you. And you know, what he told her? What did he say? Hey, your faith has healed you. Go your way. Faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Faith as a grain of a mustard seed. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. I want you to look at this. This says, fight the good fight of faith. How many know that faith is a fight in the earth today? Sometimes you got to just believe God. You got to throw down all this and say, God, I'm just going to believe you. I believe you. And it can be a fight. It can be a fight. But he says here, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on it. Grab a hold of it. Hallelujah. That word lay hold, the Greek word is lambano. Lambano. The only way I can remember is because it's Vince Lombardi. Anyway, but that's what I know. But I know the Greek word for lay hold is lambano. And it means to seize, to grab a hold of. It even means, come on, man. That's what it means. It said, come on. Jesus says, hey, take a hold of my word. Come on. Grab my word. Come on. Seize it. Take a hold of it. Take a hold of it. This lady said within herself, if I would just take a hold of his garment, she said within herself. How many of you speak to yourself that way? You know what? If I would just take a hold of that promise, I'll see great things. You will, because the promises of God are good. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called, and has professed a good profession among many witnesses. Hallelujah. I'm just going to say something to you. Folks, we need to be very careful about what we're hearing and what we're believing. Is that right? Is that okay? Faith mixed with dregs does not help you. Can I tell you that? There are things that the world, the way they look at them, the way they see things, that they will say to you, and sometimes it sounds good. But I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times those things are not doing you any good. They're mixing with your faith and they're diluting what you have. Can I tell you? It's why it says fight the good fight of faith. You got to keep from getting the word of God diluted in your life. There are fears that the world has concerning things of this world, where the word of God says, now do not fear. I am telling you, don't be afraid. I am saying that I am with you always, and I will take you through the mountains, and I will take you through the valleys and all the places in between. I'm going to take you there, but do not be afraid. Listen to what I'm saying is what the Lord would say. Do not mix faith with fear. Can I tell you that? Because God would say to you, that's not laying hold and seizing what I have for you. Folks, you know, we have to be very careful about what we hear. We have to be very careful about what we do. The Word of God does say that by His stripes we've been healed. Can I say that to you? That's what it says. I've heard it said, and probably a lot of you have heard it, you know what? There's miracles going on in a lot of other countries. But in the United States, for some reason, it doesn't happen as much. How many of you have heard that? That somehow we seem to be lacking something. And folks, I'm going to tell you what I think it is. I believe it's mixture. We're mixing the Word of God with what the world is telling us, and we're believing both. And God says, you got one way. One way. Do you hear me? One way you can believe. It's what He says, period. That's what He says. Remember when the disciples were going to pick up the mule? That Jesus said, go down there and get the mule. He said, you're going to come to a place where two roads meet. And there you're going to see the mule. The place where two roads meet is a decision place where you can only go in one. How many of you know you can't walk on two roads at the same time? Do not mix what the world tells you with what the Word of God tells you. Don't mix it. I went to see a young man yesterday in the hospital. And folks, let me tell you, when sickness and disease is looking at you right in the face, sometimes, a lot of times, those doctors are telling you everything that you're going to accept. And somehow we seem to have a tendency to, okay, I'll accept that. But how many know that the Word of God still says, by His stripes you've been healed? Do you know that? So no matter what, it's important that you hold on to what God is saying. Take a hold of it, seize it, and say, come on, God, I've got this. I've got this promise, and I'm not letting go. Because you can't mix. God does not allow us to mix what the world says with what He says. He says, one way or the highway, Jack. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. I'm sorry, 12, verse 5. Or is that 13:5? I think it's 13:5. Just badly. The Word of God says here, it says, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Is that a good word? Well, I'm going to tell you, that's a beautiful word to you. Examine yourself. Daily check yourself. Hey, am I walking by faith? God, you know what? Lord, am I walking by faith? Or am I just walking in my own stuff? Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Test your own selves. Know you not, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate. Do you know that Christ dwells in you? He will lead you and guide you. Can I tell you, I mean, if Christ is dwelling in you and you're receiving things from the world, listen, you're receiving some of these things that the world is saying to you. Do you know that Jesus might be saying, now come on, man, do you not know that a double-minded man is unstable in everything that he does? Didn't I tell you that? You receive these things and you're becoming double-minded. And folks, can I tell you, the Word of God tells us to be careful because of the deceitfulness of sin. It will say things to us, we'll receive them, and if we receive them, we become double-minded. And folks, that God doesn't want double-minded people. Our heart and our minds need to be set on the kingdom of God, need to be set on what He's saying to us. Because these are the ones. Check this out. I'm going to take you to Daniel. What happens when you begin to take those things? You know what? Compromise is a word. How many of you know that God does not want us compromising any of the areas that we stand confidently in? Do you know that? Yeah, that's right. God does not want you to compromise the fact that Jesus is the only way. Is that right? There is no other way among men, given among men, whereby we must be saved. His name is Jesus. You don't want to compromise that in your life. Well, yeah, well, you know. Do you know the world will tell you that? The world will say, well, there's a lot of different ways to get to God. No, there isn't. I'm sorry, sweetie. You're very nice. You're a nice person. You do nice things. You give nice gifts. But there is no other way. We do not compromise. Hallelujah. I remember watching the Titanic. You guys remember the Titanic? And when that ship hit that iceberg, I remember these words, and I wrote them down. He said this. One of the captain's guys came up and told him, sir, the integrity of the ship has been compromised. Compromised. Just by that one piece, that whole ship, the integrity of it was compromised. And you know, in a few hours, it was underwater. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. Listen. And I know this is, I know this is wrong, but I'm the pastor, and I'm going to say something to you. Don't mix it. Do not mix the things of the world with the Word of God. It does not work. It compromises the Word of God. Don't do it. This is what God says about us. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Check this out. Because, the folks, I'm going to say, we're in a time where God is saying, hey, man, fight the good fight of faith and stand with me. Here it says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days. Who's that? God the Father. Behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. I love it. I get excited. Yeah. And they brought him near before him. Anybody getting this? I believe this is when Jesus told Mary, don't touch me. I got a job I got to do first. I believe he took a vessel of his blood, took it up to heaven, shows up in the clouds, gets in there, and pours it on the temple that's inside in heaven itself, right in front of the Father. It's done, Father. And he says, and I saw in the night visions, and behold, this is Daniel looking at this. One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And then it says, there was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all nations and languages should serve who? Him. Who is it talking about? Jesus. It's talking about Jesus. That all nations and languages, do you know that when that veil tore, the way the opening to the Gentiles, which is Chicanos, anybody that's not Jew, anybody, is that right? It became anybody could be saved. That's why he says that all nations and languages should serve him. Moroccans, come on, should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is that which shall not be destroyed. It's an everlasting. And folks, we're in this kingdom. Daniel 7:27 says this. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven. Daniel's looking at this, and he's prophesying, and he says, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall obey and serve him. Lord. Folks, let me just say this to you. We can't mix. We can't mix. We cannot mix what the world is saying with what the kingdom is saying. We just can't mix it. Let the Word of God dwell in your heart richly in all wisdom and understanding, and let it come out of your mouth. In your house, declare, no sickness or disease shall dwell in this house, because Psalm 91 says, there shall no evil befall thee. Know that the dominion and the kingdom is real and you're part of it, so don't mix the world with it. Some folks, they're going to tell you, well, you know what? This is good for you. It's good for you. It's mixing the kingdom. It's not good for you. Hallelujah. One last verse, I'm going to read this one to you. As Daniel 7:22 says, the time came. This is what Daniel's saying. The time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. See, God has given us a kingdom. Know this, it's within you. And it says, the time came that the saints possessed. I'll tell you something, folks. It's time that you possess that which God has given you. Possess it in a vessel. Hold on to it. Grab a hold of it. Don't mix it. Do not mix it. Because in the mixing, it's a diluting. And it is dangerous. Ooh, man. Well, that's what the Lord told me to give you this morning. Now, I know you can come to me, so folks can come up to me and say, well, you know, hey, you got to go to the doctor. I said, man, you know what? Doctors are good in their professions. Go to them. Let them say stuff to you, but hold the kingdom within your vessel. Say, okay, doc, I don't know about lungs, so you can tell me about lungs, but whatever they tell you, take that to God. And begin to speak to it. This is what the doctor said to me, Lord. Write it down. Take it to your dinner table and set it on your dinner table and set it right there. Okay, God, that's what they said. This is their report. But your report says that by your stripes I've been healed. So I'm going to take a hold of it. I'm going to hold on to it and hold on to it and hold on to it. Everybody say, come on. Come on, hold on to the things of God. Don't let them go. We are, there's a thing going on, man. There's a fight. There's a fight. And we win the fight. But we got to understand that is that in that fight, the world is trying to dilute what we know. They're trying to get away with saying little things to you that's going to dilute the word of God that's already within you. Don't let them do it. You are a child of God. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. You are the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You are more than a conqueror. I sent an email or a text to somebody. I said, do you know what more than a conqueror looks like? How many of you know what a conqueror looks like? We know what everybody knows what a conqueror looks like. But what does more than a conqueror look like? What does that look like? Do you know what it looks like? His name is Jesus. That's what he looks like. He's more than a conqueror. And I'm going to tell you something. The only place to see him is in the Word of God. Take a look at him. And you're going to find out that he says, just like we read, do you not know that he dwells in you? That's why you're more than a conqueror. That's why you've got more going for you than the world could ever think of. That's why you're the head and not the tail. That's why you're above and not beneath. That's why you are in this kingdom so that God can touch the world through your life. Is that good? Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my brothers and my sisters. I thank you for what you're doing in their lives, God. I thank you, Lord, that Father God, we are not compromisers, Lord. But we are those that get a hold of and take a hold of your word. And we bring it into us, Lord. And we count it as gold. We count it as precious, precious riches in our lives. So, Father, I thank you for that. So, Lord, I just pray, God, that Father, that you would bless your people. I come against everything that the world is trying to say to them. In Jesus' name, I come against the thoughts, the attitudes, the fears. In the name of Jesus, I come against you. You cannot win this battle. The battle is the Lord's. And in Jesus' name, I speak to those things and I cast them down. They've got no place here. They've got no place in the body of Christ. Father, I thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for pouring strength into your people. Thank you, Lord, that you have commanded that they be strong. Send them forth now, Lord, into the world, into the where they go, Father, their workplaces, their grocery stores, their neighborhoods, Lord, and let them be your light to a world that doesn't know you, Father. Anoint them. Place a mighty anointing upon them to do what you've called them to do, Father. I thank you for it. And in Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God.